Good morning. Give me a minute to get things straightened up here so I don't kill myself. We are blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Would you join me this morning in prayer to our Lord and Savior? Precious and most holy God, you who love us with a love that knows no bounds, we come before you on this day in celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the new life that we have in him and through him and by what was accomplished on the cross for us, Lord, for us. Lord, open our hearts and our minds. Help us to see the new life that we now have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks and praise. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our minds. Amen. Would remind you that the cards are in front of you in the chairs. You can fill those out for prayer requests and praises. I do want to reiterate what has happened in the last 3 days. We call it Good Friday because it was good for us. But it's a day that was sad for the Lord when our Lord had to give up his life for us. And we remember that day. We should remember that day in a solemn and holy way because on that day he died for our sin. And then there was the silence of one day. And then we have the next day. The morning of the resurrection, when the sun broke through and the tomb was found empty. So, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we not blessed?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We're going to look at three different passages, to start out with. Before we get to that, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Wow. For us. Jesus suffered and died on the cross, the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. The cross of Christ represents two things that we need to really look at and what we're going to look at today. God's love of mankind and his hatred of sin. Jesus was sent to rescue us from sin. Matthew 1:21 tells us that. To restore the relationship that was lost at the fall. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 6:2 tells us that. And he came to bring us back into community with God. He is risen. Come on. Let's try that again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. If you would open your Bibles with me, we're going to start with Luke chapter 24, which was mentioned just a few minutes ago. Verse 1. We're going to read down from verse 1 through 12, and then we're going to jump to John. 3:16. Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in gleaming clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise from the dead." And they remembered his words. And returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now the women were Mary Magdalene, Jonah, and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe the women. Nevertheless, Peter got up and ran to the tomb, and when he stooped in and looked, he saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. Now, I forgot to tell you, and I meant to tell you this before, it's the start of a new things, right? All things are made new. I'm going to read to you and be reading out you and using the New American Standard Bible. This was the Bible that my mentor gave to me here when we did the installation service. And it's been sitting on my desk, and I haven't even messed with it. And I just decided we're going to use it. So we're reading from the New American Standard this morning. John 3, verses 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not judged. The one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And then one last place in Scripture, John chapter 4, starting at verse 7, and we're going to read through 5:4. Beloved, he's talking to the church, right? Beloved, let's love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. But this is the love of God, that by this the love of God was revealed in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we remain in him and he in us, because he has given us to us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, we are also in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and yet he hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother and sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God must also love his brother and sister. Chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and follow his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith. Today, we celebrate the resurrection. New life, right? We've been talking about, and that's what we're going to talk about. The eternal life that is found in Jesus Christ. It is the resurrection that proves the truth of all that Jesus said, that proves God's love for the world, that proves that as believers, our sins are forgiven, that we are set free from slavery to sin and darkness, and by faith are given new life in Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 through 22 tells us, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ only in this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. But the fact is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all those who are asleep. For since by a man death came, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. In Christ. Not those outside of Christ. Not those outside the church. But those who belong to Him. Right? Jesus came to save His people from their sins. Two things we need to understand. Two things. Sin and God's love. Both are what sent Jesus into this world. What sent Him to the cross. What is sin? For you and I, it is a willful act on our part against the known will of God. Right? Or as John Wesley put it, a willful transgression against the known will of God. Against the known will of God. You have to know it's wrong. You have to know it's in the Bible. And either you don't do it, which is the one that we seem to fall more for in the church, or you do something you know you're not supposed to do, which I know none of us have ever had a problem with. Thank you. Sin is a rejection of the direction and guidance of God. Sin is rebellion and a failure to love. And like I said, whether it's a sin of commission or one of omission. Love. Love is an action. Love is an action. We show our love for one another by what we do for one another. It's not just something that we feel, some warm, fuzzy feeling that's deep down in us. It's something that we do. We choose to love. It's an action. But do we comprehend the love of God? Do we truly comprehend the love of God? I mean, the whole tenor of this book, right, is love. That's what it's all about. God's love for us and all that He did so that we could be redeemed. It is God's love for us that led Jesus to the cross because of our sin. At any given time, Jesus, the Son of God, could have left that cross. But it was love for us that kept Him there as the Son of Man. He could pay the penalty for sin for all who would choose by faith to believe. And we talked about the new covenant on Thursday night. If you missed that, sorry, but we talked about the covenants, the old and the new, and how Jesus inaugurated the new covenant in His blood. Jesus suffered and died for the sin of the world. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is an act of love. God was showing His love for us so that we could be brought back into relationship and community, and be at peace with God. Right? Have peace with God. We're not in rebellion. God proves His love for us that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Right? Going on in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And you were dead in your offenses and sins. All of us were that way. And you were dead in your offenses and sins in which you previously walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all previously lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. But as the rest, just as the rest, But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Nothing that you did could have saved you. Grace and grace alone. We are also told in Ephesians 2 that by grace through faith that we are saved. Through faith, grace and faith together. But how do we get that kind of faith? Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's he just chooses to love us. I don't know why he loves me. Feel the love in this room. I don't know why he loves Mark. You asked for that. I'm really considerate. How do I deserve the love of God who created all things? How do I deserve the God who hung the moon and the stars and the sun? How do I deserve the love of our Creator? I don't. And yet, in that infinite love for us, he loves me. And he would have died for any one of you. That's awesome. That's the love of God. I don't understand why. We can ask ourselves all we want. God gives us grace and faith. They're gifts. 1 John 3:1. See how great a love the Father has given us that we would be called children of God. And in fact, we are. That's the whole verse. In fact, each of you is a child of God. Each of you has been blessed. Each of you has been given the word. And you have the opportunity for a relationship with the Creator of everything. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with the knowledge that God loves you enough to die for you? 1 John 4:18 tells us that there is no fear in God's love for us. That his love, his perfect love, drives out that fear. The very last part of that verse, I think, is very important for us today. The one who fears is not complete in love. There's something that you're afraid of. You need to look to how much God loves you and will get you through whatever it is you're going through. If you are living in fear, fearful of what the stock market, to quote what Steve said earlier, is doing, fearful of getting sick, fearful of traveling, fearful of loss of anything, then you are lacking in the understanding of God's love for you. God's love not in your heart. Now that's very important, right? I heard this story, maybe you've read it on Facebook or wherever. You're holding a cup of coffee and someone comes along and bumps into you, right? Or bumps your arm or shakes you, making you spill your coffee everywhere. Why did you spill the coffee? Well, someone bumped into me. Of course. Nope. You spilled coffee because there was coffee in your cup. There was coffee in your cup. Had there been tea in your cup or Kool-Aid, you would have spilled that, right? Because that was what's in your cup. Whatever's inside your cup, that's what's going to spill out when somebody gives you a good shake. Therefore, when life comes along and shakes you, which will happen, whatever's inside you is going to come out. If someone cuts you off on 94, what spills out? That's all I'm asking. You can answer that yourself. When life gets tough, what spills out? Is it love? Is it joy? Gratefulness, peace, and the humility that's found in God's love? Or is what inside you something not of God? Anger, bitterness, fear. As a Christian, as a believer, you're not going to believe I'm going to say this verse, but God's love has been poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to you as a Christian. That love is being poured into your hearts right now. We need to allow it to spill out, to spill over. Three blessings. To spill over out of us. We need to stop and take the time and think about how much God... You need to stop and think about how much God loves you. I can tell us, we need to do that, we need to do that. But if you do it as an individual, if you take the time and realize how much God loves you right now, where you're at, what He's done for you, and today of all days, He's giving you the opportunity for new life. He's given you opportunity to let things go. He's given you the opportunity to be completely and fully His. If you'll just surrender. If you'll just surrender. Is it not love that is to be the standard for our interactions and our relationships with both God and with one another? I mean, there are some people that make it a little difficult. Okay? They do. And it's out there. I'm not going to walk around it. Some people are just plain difficult. But we're still called to love them right where they're at. No matter what they've done. And all too often, we're called to have a relationship with them. One of the definitions of sin that I said earlier is the failure to love. Again, love is to be our standard of in our relationships. Matthew 22, Jesus said this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang the whole law and prophets." 36 inches. Where's Steve at? 36 inches. Everybody that's within 36 inches is your neighbor. Let's put it that way. They're your neighbor. It's not just those people that live across the street or down the road or like where we used to live, a half mile away, though we knew our neighbors. Your neighbor is the person that is closest to you at any given moment. We have many neighbors. I'm thankful that some of my neighbors are separated from me by a yellow line or a white line that's dashed, because some of those neighbors are hard to get along with. Fortunately, they're more than 36 inches. That doesn't mean I don't treat them with kindness. Here's the part that we fail at, and understanding. I don't know what's going on in their lives. I don't know what's happened with them. I don't know why they're putzing along or speeding at 90 miles an hour and I'm going along at an illegal 80 miles per hour. We'll just leave that one go. If you do not know, do not have in your heart the love of God, then your faith will not grow and you will lack faith. Plain and simple. For as Galatians 5:6 tells us, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. That love is the love of God for us. Not our love for him, but his love for us. Though in return, we should love him and love our neighbors because he has loved us so much and is loving us even now. If you don't know God's love for you, then you will doubt, and as James tells us, be like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that person not ought to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. He's talking about love there as much as he is about knowledge, a wanting something from God. In 1 John 4, we are told, God's love was revealed amongst us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world. What for? Out of love, right? Okay. To go do what? To save us from our sins. Jesus said in John 20:21, which is my favorite summing up of the Great Commission, as the Father sent me, so I send you. He sent him out of love. First and foremost, to do what? To set people free from their sins. We're sent into the world to love our neighbors right where they're at and to lead them to the one who can save them, because none of us can save another person. Oh boy, I wish I could. But I can't. The proof of God's love, the proof of all that Jesus said and commanded, is the resurrection. That's the end of it. That should tell us all. The resurrection is the most important miracle that has ever taken place. The resurrection of Jesus authenticates everything that he said and everything that he did. The resurrection proves the love of God. And the love of God raised Jesus. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. And that is the most important thing. The love, yes, but the resurrection. Do you know why? People can ask you about religions or other philosophies and tell you how great they are. But let's suppose you're out in the middle of nowhere and you come to a fork in the road and there's two bodies, one dead and one alive. Who are you going to ask for directions? He is risen. Right? So if I want directions on where I want to go, I'm going to ask the person that's alive. Muhammad's not here. Buddha's not here. Jesus Christ is alive and sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us at any given moment. We have access to the very throne of grace because of what Jesus did on the cross. What are you doing with that? Are we just, oh, that's nice. I can go talk to God whenever I want. Well, are you? Come on. Do you know the love of God? The love of God that has been poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. Do you know the love of God? Because in that love, everything can be made new. In that love, you can be forgiven for your sins. In that love, you can have the strength you need to overcome whatever it is. In that love, you can go to your neighbor and ask for forgiveness. In that love, you can let go of things that have kept you where you're at. In that love, you can be the person you're called to be right now. How? By knowing the love of God. By accepting the love of God and by surrendering yourself and loving him in return. Grace and faith are yours through Jesus Christ. The altars are open. In case you didn't know, they're always open. You can come and pray anytime you want. I don't care who's singing what. You can come up and pray whenever you want. But this morning, you have the opportunity, as the praise team comes up and closes this in this last song, you have the opportunity to leave stuff at the altar, to leave it there, to go beyond what you or who you are and what you are right now, and be what God would have you to be. All it takes is knowing His love and loving Him in return. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do as I command. What are we called to do? Love our neighbor. Who first? God. And then love our neighbor. Do you know the love of God? If you don't, then come and pray. If you have something to be thankful for, come and pray. If you just want to come up and pray, then come and pray. Because God loves you. And guess what? He's waiting to hear from you. And yeah, I know He can hear you right where you're sitting. That's easy. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. Humble yourselves in gratitude, in thanksgiving, in whatever it is you're going through, and let Him lift you up out of it. Amen. We have much to celebrate. I'm sure that a lot of you are going to spend time with family this afternoon. No matter what happens, remember you love them. And God calls you to love them. All right. Let's join in prayer. Father, we come before You, praising You, Lord, because You are God and Savior, King and Redeemer, that You paid the price, Lord, for our sin, that You rose on the third day to justify us, just as if I'd never sinned, Lord. That's where I'm at. And right now, You made us new, and You give us opportunities, Lord, to make other things new. Help us to walk in those opportunities, to be the people You've called us to be. We love You. We praise You. We thank You for this time of fellowship we're about to partake in, and for the food and the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.